Okay, let's see how far we can get. So we are in the Sermon on the Mount, and if you've been around, you're aware well of that. If you haven't, or if you haven't joined us online before today, we're in the Sermon on the Mount, which is the first teaching, the recorded teaching of Jesus, the longest recorded teaching of Jesus, and in antiquity, they just referred to it as the Sermon. Around the world today, it's typically referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, we went through the Beatitudes, and I won't take time to go through them, but we went through all the Beatitudes. Now we're in the part of the sermon where Jesus is talking about how the rubber meets the road. This is how all of those Beatitudes get worked out and what they look like when someone walks out the life of faith. And one of the things that's going on people typically think, if I've learned something, I've done it. Okay, so like if I've learned the Beatitudes, then I've done it because I've learned them. It's like this. It's like people who read books or magazines or watch TV shows or whatever it happens to be, you know, same with someone on Facebook or whatever, about exercise, think they've actually done something about exercise. Everybody with me? But there's a world of difference between reading about it or watching a YouTube video about it and actually doing it. Or how about cooking? All the cooking shows that are out there, and cooking magazines and cooking books, all the stuff. And then people think, well, you know, I know about cooking. Yeah, but you don't cook. Or how about knowing something about budgeting and thinking that because you know something about budgeting, you're actually budgeting? That's an ouch, right? I mean, it's two different things. So Jesus is really getting into where the rubber meets the road. And remember, in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to address misconceptions of the religious leaders about what his expectations are, what the scriptures, what the law and the scriptures are really about. And he challenges these early believers with these words. Be up on your screen. He says, I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, unless your righteousness surpasses the righteousness of the professional Christians, the professional leaders, unless it surpasses it, you won't make it into the kingdom of heaven. And that's, so all Jesus is talking about is what does that look like that my righteousness would surpass? Father, help us this morning, just in the few minutes we have and a little bit of ground I can cover. Help us, and Lord, continue to do your work inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen. See, Jesus, when he says that statement up there and about your righteousness surpassed, the religious leaders lived surface righteousness. That's what they did. They lived surface righteousness. And in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to talk about not surface righteousness. He's going to talk about subterranean righteousness. He's going to talk about what's going on underneath what comes out on the surface. That's what he's going to talk about. Jesus said this to the religious leaders at one point. He said, what sorrow awaits you teachers of the religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income in your herb garden, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important thing. See, tithing is a surface righteousness thing. Tithing is a biblical principle. If you don't know what the tithing means you take 10% of your income, you give it to the Lord. And through the local church, you give it to the Lord for, you know, ministry. Tithing is a biblical idea. It is a biblical principle to be followed. But it's a surface righteousness. Because you could tithe and your heart be all messed up inside. What did he say? What did he say to the religious leaders? You tithe. I mean, you get down and you count the littlest seed and you sort them out. But while you're doing that, you know what you're missing? You're missing justice and mercy. That's what you're missing. You're missing love. Those are, I mean, it's easy to write a 10% tithe check. I mean, it's not easy because you just gave away 10% of your income. But it's relatively easy when I have to compare to showing mercy to someone, right? Or to try and figure out what justice looks like in a certain situation. So tithing is a surface thing. Jesus says, do it. But it's a surface thing. Or he says this. He said, what sorrow awaits you teachers of the religious law and you Pharisees and hypocrites? You are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and selfish ambition. Again, see, it's easy to be clean on the outside, to, you know, wear the right clothes, say the right things, you know, act the right way at certain times and certain circumstances. But what about what's going on inside? That's the hard part, is to let Jesus do a transformation on what's going on inside of us. So it's like this, if you just think about it this, it's like you see a person's car and they drive their car up and you go, that's a nice car. I'm going to do a couple of car analogies if I get to them today, but that's a nice car. And then when you get closer to the car to kind of look at the car, and then you look inside and you see what the inside of the car looks like. And you're like, whoa. Or maybe you're there when they open the door and some stuff falls out on the ground. You guys know what I'm talking about? You're like, okay, it's a nice looking car on the outside, but there's some stuff going on the inside here. Okay, everybody get the picture? That's really part of what Jesus is talking about. The person's, you know, car looks good on the outside, but boy, there's something else going on. Go ahead and throw up that picture, would you? The next slide. So this picture is underground tunnel in London. Okay? And London has 1,100 miles in the city of London. There are 1,100 miles of underground tunnel work. And those 1,100 miles are, like, we're talking about from 600 years ago on, layer after layer after layer. One of the things that's underground in London is they abandoned when travel changed and, you know, mass transportation changed, they abandoned the underground railroad system, what we might call subway, but the underground railroad system. And if you go to London, there are more than 40 underground train stations that look exactly like they were when they abandoned the train system. The posters are still on the wall. The decor is still there. I mean, it's like somebody just walked away and they're just left like they are. And now, what's going on in London now is because, again, mass transportation is changing. Now they are tunneling underneath all of those other tunnels. Because how do you deal with all of that? So they're tunneling under in order to have high-speed rail under all the other tunnels. Crazy, huh? What's the point? Jesus doesn't deal with our surface. Jesus deals with what's underground. That's what he deals with. He deals with what's going on underneath, deep. And then once he's got kind of a something happening in our heart on that level, then he doesn't stop at that level. Like, good, well, we got that handled. With what does he do? If you've been around any length of time following the Lord, what do you know? He goes to the next level, and then he goes to the next level, and then he goes to the next level. And in some ways, our heart is a bottomless pit of mess, and he just keeps year after year working on that to that. To that, to everybody with me? That's what Jesus is dealing with. And so he's like, I am not going to get by. You're not going to get by with just surface. Here's the surface. Here's what Jesus says. He says, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. He's referring to the seventh of the Ten Commandments. And you shall not commit adultery. There's lots of other places where it says that. But you shall not commit adultery. And pretty black and white, pretty straightforward. And the strict idea behind adultery is sexual relations with someone who's not your spouse. That's the idea behind it. I mean, it's pretty black and white. But the religious leaders were very committed to the surface level obedience to that commandment. So that's like, okay, haven't committed, like we talked about last week, haven't committed murder. Okay, I haven't committed adultery. I'm good to go. You know, I got this all figured out. But Jesus goes, no, that's not what we're dealing with. That's the surface righteousness. That's the righteousness that is really the easy righteousness, to not commit adultery. That's the easy thing to do. You know, don't sleep with someone, don't touch someone who's not your spouse, if you're, you know, in a marriage situation. But here's what Jesus does as he goes subterranean. He goes deeper with this. He says, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, the religious leaders, they're living up here on the surface. We haven't committed adultery. And Jesus goes, yeah, but you don't get it. You don't get it. This is not about what's up here. This is about what's down below that. Let's go a little deeper here. Let's go even a little bit deeper even than that. And gets into the depth of what's really behind it. And what he does is he takes the 10th command or the 10th commandment and he uses the 10th commandment to interpret the 7th commandment. Okay? So the 10th commandment goes like this. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. So the 10th commandment, we just say it this way. We just say, thou shalt not what? Covet. That's how we say it. But really, what he's talking about, part of what he's talking about is you don't covet your neighbor's wife. So adultery is the surface thing, but coveting something that doesn't belong to you, something that you should not have, that's where it goes underground. That's where it goes deeper. Everybody with me? That's where it goes, that's where it gets down into the idea of what, how's this impacting me? How's this impacting everyone around me? See, he said, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust, or the literal could be, who looks at a woman with the purpose of lusting. Okay? So he's addressing when we see with our eyes, that what we see with our eyes becomes the subject of our fantasies. Okay, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about when what we see with our eyes becomes the subject of our fantasies. I'll give you an illustration here in just a second. But that becomes the subject of our fantasizing. And you could translate this a whole bunch of different ways, but intended staring, look that moves towards desire, fantasizing, as I'm going to talk about, keeps on looking and learning, leering look. Okay? That's all part of what this is all about. Okay? What he's not talking about is just happening to see something and go, you know, like for as a man, well, that's a nice looking woman. Boy, she's beautiful. That's not what he's talking about here. Okay, he's talking about something different than that. Let me illustrate it this way. So you see a car. I told you I was going to give you a couple of car illustrations. But you see this car, and you give a cursory look at this car, and you go, wow, that's a beautiful car. Look at the color of that car. Look at the shape of that car. That's a beautiful car. Okay, that isn't necessarily lusting. But now all of a sudden, you start fantasizing about that car. I wish I could have that car. Man, and then you start dreaming about, you know what? What would it be like to sit in that car? What would it be like to have my hands on the steering wheel of that car? You guys are all quiet. Does everybody know what I'm talking about here? You get the picture? I mean that's what he's talking about here. And you start playing this mind game about what would it be like to have that car? What would it be like to take that car out on the road? What would it be like to take that car and, man, just, you know, like, I punch the gas and slam on the brakes and, you know, all these things. Like, I'd like to test drive that car. Okay, everybody gets the picture, right? Okay, that's what he's talking about here. That's what he's referring to, is when what we see with our eyes becomes the subject of our fantasies, and we find ourselves where we just can't stop thinking about it. I was going to read. Give me 5 more minutes, okay? I was going to read. Excuse me. I'll skip it. I'll just tell you the story. Because most of us know the story, at least are familiar with the reference. But what I'm talking about right now is exactly illustrated in the life of David with Bathsheba. David's the king of Israel, and one day he goes up, he gets out of bed, goes up on the roof, because, you know, that's where they did a lot of life, because the breeze and so on's going on. So he's up on the roof, and he looks out across the, you know, the city, and he sees this woman bathing at a neighboring house. Again, it's part of where they lived life, was on the roof. And he sees her, and the scriptures actually says, and she was an extraordinarily beautiful woman. Okay? Just recognizing that she was a beautiful woman, if it ended there, that would have been fine. But David starts going like, who is that woman? Who's she connected to? I wonder what it'd be like to be with her. And then ultimately, and we don't know, it just goes from he saw her, she was extremely beautiful, and he sent someone to get her. We don't know how much time went by between here and here. Okay, again, reading it, the historical account, it just seems like, well, he saw her and he said, hey, go get her. But What did he think about? What was he fantasizing about? What was going on in his mind? What brought him to the place where he then sent someone to find out who this was? And the interesting thing is, she was the wife of one of his lead soldiers. He knew the soldier. Whether he knew her or not, I don't know. But he knew his lead soldier. And so they went and got her and brought her over. And he slept with her. But that's exactly what they're talking about here. It's just this starts, it's a look. And then the look becomes a leer. And the leer becomes a fantasy. And the fantasy becomes ultimately, if it has its play out, it ultimately becomes what someone acts upon. Everybody with me? That's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, we're not going to deal with the surface. We're going to go a little bit deeper. It's interesting, this whole idea of our eyes. Our eyes are given to us so that we can see clearly, you know, helps us with walking, navigating uneven terrain. I mean, all those kinds of things. But the same thing that's given to us to help us navigate life is the exact same thing that can start the entrapment of our heart. It's a unique thing and one of the greatest things that God has ever given the human race, that he wired into people, is imagination. I mean, think about the irony of what I'm going to say right now, but just imagine what it would be like to not be able to imagine. And almost everything we have in this world that's good has come from someone's imagination. Whether you talk about art, you talk about music, you talk about literature, you talk about design, you talk about medicines, just all kinds come from, what if all the imagination that comes from problem solving, all of those things, that it's one of the greatest things that God ever gave the people. Is this ability to imagine and to dream and to fantasize. And in our world today, all the videos and all the creative things that just, you know, take our time because we get captivated by them. I mean, all of it comes from imagination. But that same imagination is the exact thing that entraps people and sends them down the road. Everybody with me? Okay, let's all stand. That's all you get today. We'll see if we finish it next week or we move on to the next part. So, would you go to the last slide? Would you go all the way to the last slide? If you're relatively new to following Jesus, this is a passage of Scripture you should have memorized in your heart. Where 1 John says this, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You need to know that scripture. Because as I've talked about, you know, I mean, I just scratched the surface of what I want to talk to you about this idea of lust. But if you're someone who goes, like I would be, and men or women, single or married, young or old, it doesn't matter. If you're someone who finds yourself, it's easy to begin to fantasize about something I shouldn't be fantasizing or someone I shouldn't be fantasizing about. And then you confess it. It's not enough just to confess it. If we confess and ask for forgiveness, the next part of that is you ask him to cleanse you. You ask him to, and this is not just true about this. This is true about, I mean, anything. You know, we say something we shouldn't say. We give it a look we shouldn't give. It's about anything where we know we just did something we shouldn't have done or didn't do something we should do. This is a passage. You need, Lord, I did it again. There my mind went again. There my mouth went again. And I ask you to forgive me. And he says he's faithful and just to forgive us. But then also, what? To cleanse us. Lord, I receive your cleansing. I receive the cleansing you bring. And the cleansing, the forgiveness is not what brings about transformation. The cleansing is what brings about the transformation. See, we claim the forgiveness, but we don't often claim the cleansing. Everybody with me? You need to claim them both. You need to claim them both. And so this is a passage you need to learn. And if today, if something, you're like, oh man. Okay, I, Pastor Matt, you don't need to even say anything more. I got it. You need to ask forgiveness by confessing, and you need to claim the cleansing that Jesus gives. Father, we do that right now. Most of us in this room are well familiar with what it means if it's not lusting after someone, it's lusting after something. We know what that looks like. We know what the 10th commandment of not coveting, we know what it looks like. And we ask you to forgive us, and we ask you to cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Continue your transforming work in our heart. Lord, we don't want to be surface righteous people, but we want to be people who allow you to go under that level of the tunnel and under that level and under that level down to the levels you want to work in our heart. And today, thinking about this subject of lust. Last week, it was the subject of anger. We want to be people who have deep, deep things happen in our heart and transforming us. So we pray, keep working in our lives. Those of us in the room, those of us that join us online, that's what we want. We want you to work deep in our lives. Go beyond the surface in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thanks for letting me take a little bit long.